This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Hello, everyone. This is Melanie tonight because Hal is out on a college visit with one of our boys. That's the thing about having kids growing up is that sometimes you just can't be where you want to be at the right time. But tonight, instead of talking about competitive sports like we thought we were going to talk about, we're actually going to talk about 3 days to unstress dinner. You know, I'm having a little bit of trouble getting back in the swing of things. I don't know if you are. But the holidays, you know, we had time off, we didn't do school, and I spent more time cooking and with the children, and now I'm trying to get it all back together. We're trying to do school, trying to get the business back busy, and I'm doing a rotten job at meal planning, doing a rotten job of getting dinner ready. And so I'm going to take my own advice tonight. I'm going to give you 3 days. You can do them 3 days in a row, or 3 days, 1 day a week for 3 weeks. However you want to do it, but in 3 days, you can tremendously unstress dinner preparation. You can take all that nerves and the anxiety and wondering what in the world you're going to do and get rid of it. Now, this sounds kind of crazy and it sounds kind of hard, but it's not. You know, I tried that once a month cooking thing where you spend all day long cooking and you cook three batches of 10 different meals, and it was horrible. Like at the end of the day, the kids had been fighting all day. The kitchen was a nightmare. Everything I owned was dirty. I was exhausted. I felt like dying. I couldn't manage it with a bunch of small children. Now, we don't have a bunch of small children anymore. Our kids are growing up, even though we have 8 of them. But still, I feel like that's just too hard. I would dread it. I needed something that I wouldn't dread that would make everything much easier for us. And so I developed what I call the easy start way to bulk cooking. Now, you're going to freak out. Don't. Just be patient, all right? And feel free to take notes or go back and listen again later. Can you imagine how much easier it would be if someone, a brownie or a fairy or something, would appear in your kitchen and cook the meat and then call you once the meat was done and the greasy pot was cleaned up and the grease was done away with and you just had to take it from there? Would be easier, wouldn't it? Well, that's why the very first thing that you can do to de-stress dinner is go to the store, and this is a great time because prices have been coming down drastically, and buy 20 pounds of hamburger meat. 20 pounds? Yes, 20 pounds of hamburger meat. Because what you're going to do, and buy a bag of onions while you're there. You're going to need about one big onion for every 2 pounds of meat or a small onion for every pound. Get home, get out the biggest pot you have or 2 pots or 3 pots and brown all that meat. And once you got it browned, drain all the fat off. Okay, now I recommend that you chop up those onions and you cook the onions with the meat. Because most of the recipes you're going to use the hamburger in, you're going to want onions too, so why not cook them together? And that means one other gross thing you don't have to do to get ready for dinner. So chop up your onions, put it in the meat, brown all that meat, and then drain it out. And then what you're going to do is get some gallon-sized Ziploc bags and some sandwich-sized Ziploc bags. Now listen, use the Ziploc brand or another nationally known brand because you don't want to save 2 cents on a bag to lose $2 worth of food. Okay, get the freezer bags, not the storage bags for the gallon size. Now, the sandwich bags can be just whatever you want, but for the gallon size bags, get freezer bags because they're thicker and they'll keep your stuff from getting freezer burn. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to measure out and put about 2 cups of browned and drained meat in each sandwich size Ziploc bag. Now, the reason you're going to use 2 cups is that's about how much hamburger you get from 1 pound of hamburger meat once you've cooked it and drained away the fat. Now, you're going to put about 4 of those bags in each gallon-sized Ziploc bag. Now, okay, it's tempting just to chuck them all in there like a blob, okay, and throw it in the freezer. But when you do, when you open the freezer, it's going to be an avalanche. Everything's going to come pouring out. It's going to whack you in the head or drop on the dog. No, 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 no. Once you fill those sandwich-sized Ziploc bags, lay them all out neat and flat on a cookie sheet and stick them in the oven. And once they're frozen, you can put them inside the Ziploc bags, the big gallon-sized Ziploc bags. Now, your hamburger's cooked. How are you going to use it? Well, first of all, you're going to reheat. Let me tell you the reheat rule and listen carefully. If you want something frozen to be moist when you reheat it tightly covered. And fast is better, like in a microwave. If you want something to be crunchy, then you reheat it uncovered, slow in the oven. Okay? So, hamburger, you want it to be moist. Okay? So you're going to reheat it in the bag, in the microwave, closed. Now, if you don't like that, if you don't want to heat up things with plastic next to them, that's okay. You can heat up in a covered casserole dish, but it's got to be closed very tight because you want it to steam and you want the steam to go through and through the meat. Because when the steam goes through and through it, then it tastes wonderful. It tastes like you just cooked it. Because, see, it's that dry freezer burn taste why a lot of folks don't think they like frozen food. But if steam goes through it, it will taste fresh. Okay, so what do you do with it? Well, if you just do that part just one day and cook that hamburger meat and put it in the freezer, oh, it's wonderful. What you can do with it is you can pull it out, heat it up, mix in some Mexican seasoning, put it in small tortillas with some lettuce and cheese and tomatoes, and you've got tacos. Or you can just heat it up and pour some sloppy joe sauce in, you've got sloppy joes. Or you can heat it up and mix in some canned spaghetti or jarred spaghetti sauce, cook some noodles, and you've got spaghetti. You can take that hamburger and add some chili beans and a can of tomatoes and some chili powder, about a tablespoon of vinegar, and make chili. There's tons of things you can do with it. You can add all the ends of bags of vegetables that you haven't finished, and some tomato soup or tomato juice and make a vegetable soup. It takes about 2 minutes to heat a pound of frozen hamburger, and you have one less dirty pot, no grease. It's just so much easier, like taco salad. The other day, our children wanted taco salad. When you heat up that hamburger, add a little Mexican seasoning. While it's heating up the microwave, you're going to lay out your plates and spread and put a pile of lettuce in each plate. Then you take the meat and you put a spoonful of meat on each pile of lettuce. And then you come through and you add some grated cheese and some ranch dressing and some salsa, and you got taco salads in like 5 minutes. It's so fast and easy. It takes a whole huge step out of the process. And you don't have to make sure you've got fresh meat and send somebody to the store and then cook the meat and then do something with the greasy pot and then do something with the fat. It's all ready to go. Now, maybe you don't eat much hamburger, but hamburger is a great one to have around because it's so versatile. Tacos, burritos, sloppy joes, spaghetti, taco salads, chili, vegetable soup, so many different things you can do with it so fast. Hamburger stroganoff, there's just a bunch of things you can do. Now, that's day one. If you do that right there, you don't have to eat it every day. But on those days when you're crazy tired and you come home from the field trip, now you got to make dinner, instead of driving through McDonald's or Little Caesars or something, you've got something you can fix fast and easy at home in just a few minutes. Now, day two to unstressing dinner. Okay, chicken is so good, but it's so much work. Messing with raw chicken, you got to be really careful to keep everything clean, and it takes time to cut it up, and it doesn't stay fresh in the fridge very long. So what you're going to do, again, is buy 20 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breast. What? Yes, 20 pounds. And I know it's cheaper to buy whole chickens or chicken parts and stuff, but the goal here is to make stuff easy. To unstress dinner. to unstress dinner, you got to make it easy. And there's nothing easier than boneless, skinless chicken breast. Okay. So why 20 pounds? Because 20 pounds is the amount you can cook on one bag of charcoal on a big grill. Now, again, the price has been really coming down this past few weeks, and this is a great time to do this. So get 20 pounds and get 4 or 5 big mixing bowls or casserole dishes or something else and lay them out on your table. And you're going to make 4 or 5 different marinades. Now, I'm going to give you a really easy idea. This is what I call my instant marinade, and this is super easy, and it's a universal marinade recipe. What you need is you need 2 tablespoons of seasoning, 1/4 cup of some kind of acid, like lemon juice, lime juice, or vinegar, or wine, to tenderize and to penetrate the meat. The 2 tablespoons of seasoning can be something like lemon pepper, Italian seasoning, Greek seasoning, soy sauce, something like that, and 1/4 cup of water. Now, you may need to make 2 or 3 batches of this depending on how much chicken you put in each bowl. Now, how are you going to use that? Okay, so you want to season some for fajitas. Use 1/4 cup of lime juice and Mexican seasoning, and you're going to use 1/4 cup of oil, like canola oil. And so, or olive oil to make a fajita flavored seasoning. To make a Greek seasoning, you're going to use lemon juice, olive oil, and Italian seasoning. Because that lemon juice and olive oil flavor, that's the classic Greek flavor. Greek seasoning, lemon juice, and olive oil. To make an Italian, you're going to use wine or wine vinegar, olive oil, and Italian seasoning. To make a teriyaki marinade, you're going to use soy sauce. Don't put 2 tablespoons of ginger in it, though, just a little bit of ginger or a great fresh ginger into it. And an oil that doesn't have a great deal of flavor, like canola oil or vegetable oil, or you could use a sesame oil, but you're going to have to use less of it. So it's 1/4 cup of acid, 1/4 cup of water, 1/4 cup of oil, and 2 tablespoons of seasoning. And that's going to make a little bit less than a cup of marinade, okay? So make your marinades, divide your chicken into your marinades, whatever marinade you want. And that's really cheap, too, versus going and buying a 10-ounce bottle of marinade at the store for $3. That's ridiculous. You can make it yourself. While you're doing all this, your husband or your son's going to be getting the charcoal ready because it takes very little time to marinate chicken, and by the time the charcoal's ready, the chicken will be ready to cook. Now, when he puts the chicken out, he's going to have to keep the different flavors a little segregated. Put all the fajita chickens together, all the Greek chickens together, all the Italian chickens together, okay? And so it doesn't take very long to marinate it. You're going to take it out, bring him a separate platter for each one, okay, for each flavor. Bring it back in, and as soon as it's cool, what you're going to do is put 1 chicken breast in a sandwich-sized Ziploc bag. And then you're going to put all the chicken breast of that flavor in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag and label it, like fajita chicken or Greek chicken or something. How are you going to use it? Well, first of all, it reheats very similarly to the hamburger. You want to reheat it tightly covered in the bag sealed or in a tightly covered casserole dish. In the microwave is the easiest way, okay? Reheat it sealed, and say you're going to pull out your fajita chicken. All you have to do is saute some onions and peppers, heat up some refried beans, and put it on the table with sour cream and salsa and cheese. And so what you pay $15 a plate for down at the nice Mexican restaurant, you can put it for a tiny fraction of that and put on the table in 10 minutes. And have wonderful. In fact, Helen and I did this one time. We had a company who came over to visit, and we knew they loved to eat out at this fancy Mexican restaurant. And so we made them fajitas. And they were like, how did you do this? I didn't even see you go out to the grill. They thought it was fresh off the grill. It had been in their freezer for a couple of months. And so you can do that really easily. Now, or you can get your teriyaki chicken out and say you had cooked too much rice last night. You can take leftover rice, get a skillet, put some oil in the bottom, and toss your rice until it begins to brown, okay? While your teriyaki chicken is heating in the microwave, and then get it out, chop it up, chuck the chicken in with the rice. Once the rice is beating the brown a little bit, spread it out to the edges of the pan so that you've got bare pan in the middle of the pan. Put a little more oil in there and crack an egg for each person eating into the middle of the pan. Stir the egg until it begins to become scrambled eggs and then stir the rice into it to make fried rice. You're going to season it with coriander and soy sauce. Some ginger if you have it. Fresh ginger is especially delicious. It is so good. It's fast, it's easy, it's cheap. You can also use the Italian chicken. You can make chicken tetrazzini, chicken spaghetti, chicken Alfredo. Really easy. You can just pull it out, heat up that chicken whole, and serve grilled chicken with veggies. Or you can take a hamburger bun or a Kaiser roll and butter it, and then turn it split side down on a grill and grill the buns and serve chicken sandwiches in those grilled buns with a little drizzle of ranch dressing. It's really delicious. In all these different meals you cooked in one night, you can make a white chili. You ever had a white chili? It's really delicious. Instead of adding chili beans, you're going to start with your chicken, and the fajita chicken is a great one for this. Heat up your chicken, chop it up, throw it in a pot with Great Northern beans and green chilies and chili powder and cumin. Wow, that makes a delicious chili. Serve it with grated cheese and sour cream. Really yummy. And so this seriously tastes just like it came off the grill. Now, you do those 2 days, and suddenly dinner got a lot less stressful because all this is done. But, you know, if you're like me and you're as bad at planning as I am and we get busy and I forget to go to the store, I might have all that in there, but I might not have anything to go with it. And that's what you do on day 3. The third day of making dinners less stressful, of unstressing dinner, is making a list of what you need to keep on hand and then going to the store and getting it. And so think about all the different things you can do with your pre-cooked hamburger and your pre-cooked chicken and make a list of what you need to make it work. For example, if you want to have a Greek salad with that Greek marinated chicken, you're going to need feta cheese and baby spinach, right? If instead you're going to make gyros, which looks like gyro, folks, but it's pronounced hero, okay? If you're going to, we ate a Greek restaurant just recently here in the South, and the waitress came up, and I ordered gyros, and she said, "You mean gyros?" No, it's not gyros, it's gyros, G-Y-R-O-S, okay? If you're going to make gyros, you're going to need pita bread and feta cheese and your Greek chicken. And maybe some plain yogurt and cucumbers, okay? So think about the things you want to do, you can do, and you want to keep the staple in your fridge. Say one of the things you might like to do with your Italian-flavored breast is to make a take on chicken parmesan. So you're going to heat those up. This time you're going to put them in a tightly covered casserole, heat them up, pull them out whole, pour spaghetti sauce over them, and then sprinkle mozzarella cheese on that and run it under the boiler. Fast, super easy. You can make some pasta to go on the side. And so I'm going to want to keep spaghetti sauce on hand. Cheeses keep in the fridge for a very long time, especially if they're unopened, like months. And so I can keep some feta cheese, some mozzarella cheese, some cheddar cheese in my fridge. That's going to help a lot of things go a long way. Things like pita bread, tortillas, noodles, canned spaghetti sauce. You know, think of the things that you're going to need to make refried beans, to make all these meals we've talked about happen, and make sure they're always in your pantry. And so that makes it super, super easy. I walk in, I'm tired, or we've been busy all day, and I say, and somebody says, Mommy, what's for dinner? And so I say, oh, I don't know. Let me see if Dad can pick up something on the way home from work. Or in our case, it's often one of our sons, since Dad works from home. Instead, I say, well, let's look at our idea list, because what you want to do is put the idea list on the fridge. Make a whole list of ideas of things you can do with hamburger, of things you can do with chicken. And look at the idea list, and you're going to have the stuff on hand, and you're going to be ready to go. And it just, doing this has been one of the best things for our eating better, for spending less money eating out, spending less money running to the store and getting things, and serving stuff that my family really enjoys eating. So, let's talk about it. 3 days to unstressing. First day, day one, and again, you can do this 3 days in a row. You can do it over a long weekend. You can do once a week for 3 weeks, however you want to do it. First day, I'm going to get 20 pounds of hamburger, brown it, package it 2 cups in a sandwich-sized Ziploc bag, and several of those in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. Day two, I'm going to cook 20 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breast marinated on the grill. I'm going to come in, I'm going to package one breast in one sandwich-sized Ziploc bag, pile all the breasts of the same flavor in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. Day three, I'm going to make a list of all the different things I could do with my brown hamburger, all the different things I could do with my grilled chicken, and then I'm going to make sure I have all the extra stuff I need. I'm going to go to the store and get it and keep the stock on hand. Now, there's some things you can do to extend these ideas. One thing that you can do is you can cook some sausage the same way. The sausage, 1 cup is about all you get from 1 pound. And so you're going to put 1 cup in a Ziploc bag if you think you're going to use just a pound at a time. You can buy onions and peppers in bulk and chop them and put them into a gallon Ziploc bag in the freezer. Now, the cool thing about it is they don't really tend to stick together. And so you can just dump them all in a gallon Ziploc bag and shove them in the freezer. And are they going to be good raw? No, because they'll be mushy once they defrost. But they're perfect to saute. So say I'm going to make those fajitas. I heat up my grilled chicken in the microwave. While that's heating up, I get my bag of already cut up onions and peppers out of the freezer, take it to the stove, put some oil in an iron skillet, pour some onions and peppers in. You don't have to defrost them or anything because they defrost so quickly there in the pan. I'm going to saute those, chuck the chicken in with it when it comes out, cut it up, and we're ready to go. We just need some cheese and salsa and tortillas and sour cream, and it's ready to serve, and it's delicious. Now, a little hint about tortillas. If you want your tortillas at home to taste like they do in the restaurant, you need 2 things. You need to heat them up on a dry griddle, like in your iron skillet with nothing in it, no oil, nothing, or on a grill, like the same way. Heat up on a dry skillet, and then once it's heated up, you're going to put it in a tortilla warmer. And there's a bunch of different kinds. You can find them at any discount store. There's plastic ones. There's styrofoam ones. There's some are made out of ceramics. We've had all of them. But put it in a tortilla warmer to keep it nice and hot and steamy. And bring it to the table. Tastes just as good. So I really hope that you'll try this, that you'll do these 3 days to unstress dinner, because I think you'll be amazed at how much easier it makes getting food on the table when you're stressed out. It's going to make it a lot easier. In fact, it's going to make it so easy that probably your 7- and 8-year-olds can make dinner when the meat's already done. Now, obviously, you don't want a 7- or 8-year-old walking around with a pot of boiling spaghetti noodles to drain, but a 12-year-old could, definitely. 11-year-old, sometimes a 10-year-old, if somebody comes and drains the meals. But it's going to make it way easier for your children to cook, for Dad to cook, for you to get it on the table, and it's going to be better food with more variety and less time. I've really enjoyed talking to you tonight, and I've got a lot more things I want to share with you, but we're out of time. And so I'd like to give you a gift tonight. If you will head over to our website at raisingrealmen.com/dinner, then you can sign up for our newsletter, and you can download the entire workshop, Sanities in the Freezer, that talks about these three ideas and then takes them much further with a lot of other ideas. And you can download it free. Because I want you to unstress. I want things to get easier. I'm going to go do this because, you know what, we've run out in our freezer. And I'm realizing, as I'm talking to you about it, how much easier it makes things. I need to go do that too. So I'm going to plan to do it. Won't you do it with me? If you do, how about come out to our Facebook page, facebook.com/raisingrealmen or facebook.com/HalandMelanie. Come out there and tell me that you did it and what the result was and how you liked it. Our kids love bulk cooking. That's another secret. Boys love doing things in bulk like this. And so you can get your boys involved with the cooking when you're doing huge quantities. They love that. And get your kids involved. Get it done. Get this out of the way and make the next semester so much easier. So thank you for joining us tonight for Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And next week, Hal will be back. And I think next week we're going to talk about sports and competition. In the meantime, we thank you for joining us. And thank you for listening. Please go out to iTunes and leave a review if you can, because that really helps us. It helps us move up in the iTunes ranking so more people can find out about our show. Thank you, guys. Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.